Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Breaking free from the beliefs that no longer serve you. From the moment we entered this world, we were absorbing beliefs about ourselves, about others, about what we could expect from life. But what happens when the people shaping those beliefs were unpredictable, critical, or emotionally unsafe? For many of us, growing up in dysfunctional families meant learning to expect the worst. We weren't taught to believe in ourselves. We were taught to brace for impact. It wasn't just the words our caregivers spoke. It was the way their anger came out of nowhere, turning everyday moments into landmines. We learned that our safety depended on staying small, staying quiet, staying agreeable. Maybe we saw a sibling bear the brunt of the rage and vowed never to step out of line. Maybe we became so accustomed to being blamed that we internalized it, believing that if something went wrong, it must be our fault. These experiences didn't just shake our confidence in others, they planted deep limiting beliefs about ourselves. That we weren't good enough, that we had to be perfect to be loved, that criticism wasn't just feedback, it was proof of our failure. But beliefs are not facts, they are stories we were given before we had the power to recognize we had the power to choose our own. Healing is about learning to rewrite those stories, to recognize that another person's anger is not a reflection of our worth, that criticism is not proof of our inadequacy, that we are allowed to take up space, to have a voice, to trust ourselves instead of fear the worst. Today, we get to tell our inner child, you deserved kindness back then, and you still do now. What's one limiting belief you carry that no longer serves you? Man, that line just hit me when I was reading it. For growing up meant learning to expect the worst. The belief that I'm still working on is this belief that I can't take care of myself. And, you know, it was really interesting. Yesterday, I went out on a walk to visit I had this gator that I was seeing every day, but he's gone. And so now I have a new snake friend. And so that's what prompted me to put in the for me to Google the other day when I said, do snakes like hanging out with other snakes? But when I got home from my walk yesterday, I walked up and there was a letter that was taped on my door. And thank God it said a different name, but somebody that used to live in my apartment. But like if it hadn't said his name, I think that that would have just really spun me out, you know, to have a letter taped on my door. But, you know, as I've been in this upswing for the past month or so, it's been interesting over the past week that there's hypervigilance creeping in slowly that is like waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's like so used to me disappointing myself, you know, and I've been noticing that that's creeping in some. It's like how we talk about how when things are going too well, that we feel so uneasy. And I just think about when we're habitually disappointed as kids, we learn to habitually disappoint ourselves in adulthood. And I've spent the past few years in a place of not having much capacity to take care of myself. And over the past little while, I'm taking care of myself. Like, I'm so proud of myself. Like, the one thing I want to say for today is I fucking love my apartment. Like, I love my apartment, the way that I've decorated it. It feels so safe and calm. And I went about it like the right way of slowly doing it. And I've been keeping things like so neat and clean. And there's not shit everywhere. And it just feels so, it's a God, it's amazing like what a clean, nicely looking place does like to the nervous system, you know? And so it's like I'm showing up for myself in all of these ways. But you know, I have a nervous system that was wired to disappoint myself, right? Like my role in the family was to disappoint others in order to save the family, to disappoint others in order to get attention. And then I've chose to act out in self-sabotaging ways in adulthood, not chose, but it's what is predictable and familiar to my nervous system. And so right before group started, I noticed this hypervigilance coming in. And so I just stopped and I laid down on the floor and I just like tried to connect with this part of me that feels that way. And I just said, like, listen, I know why you feel this way. This is all you know. And I just said, can you please just give me like a little bit more space? You know, can you continue to let me prove to you that I can do this, that I can take care of us? And so that's what it's gonna be. Like, it's gonna take time. It's gonna take time for that part to quiet down. And so, yeah, I'm just really proud of myself. And I just feel good. And I've been feeling like adulty. And it's just been nice to like opt towards doing the things that are taking care of myself and like having that be what I want to choose as opposed to having to try to force it or not being able to do it. So I'm slowly learning how to take care of myself and slowly letting my parts know that I can take care of myself. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
What limiting belief do I have right now that I need to let go of that doesn't serve me well? Probably I have a limiting belief about there's a part of me that does not believe that I will ever find peace. There's a part of me that believes that I am fundamentally flawed. I won't get ahead of all my limiting beliefs, right? I won't be able to identify and it's like I want to just slay them all, like, or exorcise them out of me like they're demons. I have this limiting belief that like there's something I need to do regarding my healing journey. You know, and then people wiser than me tell me you need to stop doing and just be. And I know that, but I must have another limiting belief behind that that's preventing me. I've got a lot of limiting core beliefs that the things I tell myself and I continue to believe them because, and I think part of it is I try to identify them. Like I want to get them all in a line, right? And I want to like, it's control. Like I want to mentally get them all on a list so I can begin to like dismantle them. But I can't, my thoughts come so fast. I can't identify when I'm having, you know, a shitty false belief. It's really difficult. I try to look at how I feel, but I trick myself about that too. Hell, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in here sharing a story and somebody said, Kelly, that sounds like hypervigilance. I'm like, what the fuck? And there it is. Like, I've got this belief, like, I'm supposed to know that already. And then I beat myself up for the fact that I didn't. And I'm really good at identifying what I don't know. And then beating myself up for the fact that I don't know it, which means I have a belief that I should. And I can trace that back to childhood, and that's all fine and dandy, but how's that helping me? So, limiting beliefs that are no longer serving any purpose, right? I got a shitload of them. Some of them where I'm of, some of them I'm not. But that's not all I need to do either, right? You know, it sucks having a good brain. And I'm not, it's not, I'm not saying that like it's a compliment about me, right? It just sucks. Because a safe day up in the head. It's so safe, but it's not, there's no joy. There's no joy there. So I've been coming here for a year and maybe a year and 3 months. And sometimes I feel like, I'm making progress, and sometimes I don't. But I'm still coming. Yeah, thanks.
You are.
This is such a perfect like conversation right now for me, just because my limiting belief is that I am not an adult, maybe like some sort of like imposter syndrome situation. I'm not sure. I was the mascot. I don't know if that's shocking to anyone. But I just have been acting like a person, just like boop, 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 like just kind of act, just like mimicking people and just acting like I'm a person and a human and an adult. But this whole fucking organization thing, I cannot get over. Like, I'm just finally like the floodgates have opened of kind of feeling like I'm an adult. And just like understanding what I didn't understand for so long. And it was just this kind of so my whole thing was the container theory explained. I've watched that like 5 times and I don't use containers. Like I was kind of going for scrap. So I would like be like, I'm gonna take this egg carton and fucking decorate it and turn it into a my sock drawer. Like I was always doing these really kooky, like creative things, but then like nothing would ever fit in the container. And so now I just can't believe it. Now that I know what a fucking container is, I feel like I am on the path to becoming an adult. But I've always just felt really, I guess, like ignored or, but I just like acting like I'm supposed to be doing something. But then the other part too is I'll be 51 next week, but has anybody ever I'm sure everybody has, but or somebody some of you have, but it's the Velveteen Rabbit quote about the skin horse, and he's like, by the time you become real, like your fur's all rubbed off and your eyes put your button eye is like off. So like the Velveteen Rabbit is about a rabbit that like a stuffed animal rabbit that becomes real. But anyway, since I'm 51, like I just feel like the skin horse. Like by the time all my fucking joints are going out and I can't fucking see out of my left eye, I'm finally becoming an adult. So I do not want to beat myself up about that. Like it just is what it is. Like what the fuck? Like I know what a clothes hamper is for now. I'm just so stoked. I'm so just like relieved. Like, oh my God. So I probably have a learning disability too. So I was not good at school. So this is like one of the first like life lessons that I feel like I've actually fucking learned. So anyway, thank you for letting me talk as I always do.
One that I'm really trying to work on is being stupid. So I can trace where I got it from, and I'm just getting out of the marriage that I was in, with the relationship that I was in since I was 16, and I'm now 39. And I have a lot of fear holding me back from things. And being, I could totally relate to you when you were talking about hypervigilance, just waiting for that shoe to drop and shit to hit the fan. And I almost feel embarrassed because I'm 39 and I feel like I'm like 15 in my body and I'm just doing life for the first time on my own. So things that I think that I should know or how to act, I'm just literally doing now. And I got sober from alcohol a year ago too. So it just literally, yeah, that's, I'm really trying to show myself compassion and being patient with myself, but it's hard. And I'm afraid that I don't know what I'm doing and I'm going to make huge mistakes and then try to tell myself, you know what, it's okay if you make mistakes. You're just learning and going through this for the first time, regardless of your age. But yeah, it's just trying to get over that hump and that fear of taking a leap towards whatever type of life that I want because I'm afraid I'm going to make the wrong decision. So that's where I'm at. So thanks for letting me share.
The belief I want to let go of is that if I disappoint people, I will wind up alone, like permanently. I just wind up in these friendships where the person is like either making choices in their life or like being mean to me or doing something that's like leaves me just spinning afterwards. And I spend like the next 4 days being like, why is she dating him? Why is she spending all this money on this business she can't afford? Why is this happening? And I just am like completely fixated on someone else's problems. But the way out is to just stop hanging out with them or to move on or to make an excuse to not go to something. But that would require disappointing them and like maybe getting the label of like being a flake, which I've been told I am in the past. And it's like, that's actually worth it. That's a price that's worth paying to be known as a flake, but to actually be spending time either by myself, which is very peaceful, or time with people who make me feel like seen and heard, and I don't leave the interaction just like whiffed up with judgments and frustrations. And yeah, I think that this belief that like disappointment means, you know, exile from the tribe or death, like is just deep in me. And it's keeping me from growing because I spend all this mental energy on people who I don't want to disappoint, but I don't actually enjoy their presence. And yeah. That's my belief. Thank you.
Hey everybody. I think for me, my limiting beliefs are a lot revolve around a lot of social stuff. You know, I will get into a situation with a stranger and I won't make a good impression, or I'll look stupid, or they'll think that I'm this or that. So it all comes down to how I see myself, and I really struggle with seeing myself clearly. And I have like moments where I am very socially like great. Like I can put on this very friendly mask and do the things and, you know, have good outcomes. But then there are like times when I'm very tired and like my social ability is like off and I just want to like disappear. And I'm like, you know, in a workplace where it's just constant people. I'm on this giant floor with like, you know, 60, 70 people. And it's just so draining. And I feel there are a lot of beliefs around like how I'm perceived and how good I am based on that perception of other people. And am I a good person? Am I like just inherently socially awkward? And my kind of defense mechanisms always override my ability to interface with people. But I'm trying to work with these parts and remind them that there are days when I'm really good, like I'm really quite talented with social stuff. And I think that there these parts that don't see myself clearly are wounded, and they're clinging to this old conception of me because it feels safe and because I did have so little mirroring growing up from my caregivers and my teachers and all of that. So it's like, I've said this before, but I often feel like this abused dog that wandered to our yard when I was like 8. And I just think it's like such an animal response to kind of like cower and go inside and take on the pain of rejection and all of that, and just make it your own because it keeps you from experiencing it again. Like the hope of having something good is too painful. So yeah, it's a process, but yeah, I know I'll get there. So thanks, guys.
I think my core limiting belief is probably the one that's intertwined with all the rest, and it's that I'm not enough, or like I'm not worth it. Like I never was shown any value growing up. Like each trauma, it was just kind of trauma after trauma, and I realized I learned my biggest lessons in these big chaotic, like traumatic moments. That's where I learned the biggest, most, like all the lessons of things. Like I've been really tracking my schedules and like my patterns, and it's crazy. Like I can just about tell like what day is going to be a good day and what day is going to be a bad day based off of like the last 4 months of patterns. Like it's crazy, but if you really pay that much attention, like it's done so, like it's been great for me. Like I've learned so much about myself and like all these podcasts. I've just been like taking in so much information and just like isolating and feeling. Feeling's fucking key. That's key. And I used to just avoid them, push them down, and I can just feel the growth. I see the growth. I'm like, I'm setting the boundaries. I'm all the little things. Like I just made a couple small alignments, and now I really see my worth and I see my value. And the more that that belief like cracks and crumbles, it's like the more it loosens the rest of them, and it makes me aware of the rest of them. And I don't know, this is a crazy path, but it's definitely my path. So I don't know, that's all I got.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway, night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating, gas, man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So, Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So I have a big thing tomorrow. We're with my kids. We actually have an open DCFS case on us now. Or not us, but my son had a thing at school where he got like held down and he got bruises, and his therapist called DCFS, and now they have to come to our house, which seems like the biggest pile of shit ever to be handed, when literally we saved these kids from this sort of shit, because two of my kids are adopted and they would definitely be in bad situations if they weren't with us. So it's just kind of a slap in the face. It's not our fault, and it's not, keep telling ourselves it's not something happening to us, but it feels like something could happen. It's really scary. Like, it's really scary that, so we're just like, luckily we had the weekend. We're like cleaning the house like crazy and just getting ready. So that's really scary. I don't know if anyone else is going through this, but it's just like not easy to deal with. So I just want to share that. Thanks. Glad to be here.
We're sending you good thought. Thank you for sharing that.
As far as limiting beliefs go, I've kind of been working on one lately with my therapist, which is I can't do anything right. And with that, everything that I do is wrong. And then that also kind of just comes with a general sense of like, I can't, you know, like no matter what it is, even things that like I know that I actually can do, there's still a part of me like deep down that just, it's just like a blanket that gets thrown over everything is just, I can't. And then oh, I feel like all of these, like the major core ones, kind of just all tie in together to like fuck up my life, you know? Then there's like the fear of abandonment, like because I feel like everyone that I have ever loved has abandoned me. That has led to like this belief that everyone that I ever love in the future will abandon me. And then I think the other biggest one is it kind of manifests as just like this general fear, but it's like, I guess to phrase it as a limiting belief, it's like the world is scary. People are scary. Like the world is going to hurt me. You know, people are going to hurt me. And all of those together, like I said, they kind of just work together to like fuck up my life, like for the longest time. And I am healing. I am making progress. I know this, but you know, just, you know, like not trying new things, like being scared to go out into the world and explore and being afraid to express myself. And God, that sucks. I want to like throw something good out there, you know, something hopeful, because this kind of feels like a downer. Just, and I mean, I know that's part of it. I don't like the parts that don't feel good. But I'm really grateful for everybody being so open and honest with this, because this is tough.
Hello, everybody. I think that this is very timely. I started a new job this week, which I'm really excited about. Enjoying it so far, enjoying in quotations because it's not the real part of it yet. But I got to the end of the week and I found myself really anxious around like, what am I supposed to be doing? Shouldn't I be getting more accomplished? All this kind of stuff. And I found myself really hesitating to reach out to someone to have a conversation around like next steps and things along those lines. And I caught myself in the reality that like, I have this inherent belief that my presence and my needs are just straight up annoying. And like, I am a nuisance for existing. And it really just, I had to laugh about it because I had an email that was sent to me on Monday that says, you know, welcome. Here's all the people that you can reach out to for support. Like explicitly, this is their job, is to support you in each of these ways. And so I'm sitting there Friday. I've put it off for like a day and a half. I have specifically to like message two people to have a conversation. And I fought myself so hard just to reach out and say, hey, here's what's going on. Just wanted to say hello, find out next steps, that kind of thing. Very simple. And it just like at the core of my being, like was so difficult to get over that hump of putting my hand up and saying, hey, I need some help or whatever. And then I laughed because my job is literally just talk to people and to figure things out. And so part of me feels scared that it's like, oh, I am going to sabotage myself into not being good at this. And then the other part of me has seen myself in action and understands that like, I am good at what I do and I'll be fine in the long run. It's just getting a new job is very stressful. But I was reflecting back along my experiences of my life and what it has meant to be in a situation where I have needs or need attention or anything along those lines. And how just from my very, I've spoken about this before, specifically like men with authority, I just struggle so much. I automatically believe that I'm like the shit on the bottom of their shoe. And I was thinking, reflecting back on like my entire life and recognizing that like I did have really great influences of people in my life, like uncles and things who I enjoyed being around. But my dad was so just aggressively problematic, that even those positive influences were limited because he did a very good job of like keeping me away from the rest of my family. We kind of isolated. And my experience with him, I have maybe two memories of him being like somewhat nice to me in my entire life. And one was very manipulative to try and get back in my mom's good graces when they were separated. And that was like the one day I can remember something really positive. And then other ones just make me really uncomfortable because he was either just like not his energy is just off or he was drunk or something. And so when I think about the whole of my life of like the first 18 years being in a household with someone who despised my existence, probably hated themselves even more, and just made all of that very uncomfortable. I think I'm coming to the place of like, oh, no shit, like, no duh, you have such a problem with this. And that's okay, but also like, don't let it stop you. But even having that recognition of that, I think I'm having a day today where I'm just really frustrated with the amount of work this is, how much effort and like persistence and struggle it is to just feel somewhat normal and to get to a point where you're like functioning. And I've felt it kind of the last couple of weeks of not necessarily being exhausted, but just wanting to like throw my hands up and just be done for a second and just go and live. And I think the reality is life up until this point, like I turned 35 in a month, and I have to do things that a 35-year-old has to do. And there is no time for me to, or there's no way for me to just like stop and go and get those things that I need, which is to just be like a kid and to like not have any worries and not have any stress. And so finding out how to navigate that and like giving myself time to not have any pressure on myself is where I'm at. And I picked a real good time to like have this moment because life is really stressful in that sense, but it's also really good in that things are changing. And so I think that bringing it back around to limiting beliefs, it makes me almost nauseous to think about the fact that this is a wall that I have to bump up against every day, probably for the rest of my life. And it'll get easier, but it won't ever go away. And that sucks. And maybe that's a limiting belief, to think that you will never get better. That's where I'm at with it. I just sharing that. I want to take a nap now, but glad to be here. glad you're all here. Thanks for letting me share.
One of my limiting beliefs that I've carried that no longer serves me, but that still affects me to this day, and it's, you know, other than where and how I think about myself, of being that burden, right? Being that burden child, being the punching bag, being the one that was out of fault. And all this gathers up into one thing for me, and that's shame. I carry so much shame. It is so fucking heavy that most people can't even fucking fathom how much shame that I've always carried. I know it doesn't serve me, right? It serves me as a, like these daggers all the time, but to be this 45-year-old husband that's, you know, great professionally, but, you know, fucking rock star in the business world of wearing those masks and being that proud person of what I can do and what I can accomplish. But when it comes to being normal life of a flipping of a switch, there's that shame that kicks back in of being that burden of being, you know, can I be a good friend? Can I be a good person? Stop procrastinating, right? And then what happens is I hit the shame spiral, and it's just like, let's start from the top and hit every branch all the way down to the ground, and then pick myself back up, and I just keep doing this shit over and over. And it's a constant damn battle on a daily basis, where sometimes I can go pretty good, pretty normal during the day. You know, I try to do my four quarters of a day, And then, you know, some shit happens and I'm like, well, I'll just take a fucking flamethrower to it all, because it's like some other people say, they revert to, you know, being their that inner child and dealing with all this. And for me, it's the hardest thing I've had to work on in this healing journey in 6 years is to finding the way to love myself. That's where I'm having the most difficulties. And I'll tell you, everybody here, that for the last 2 months, I've been in a shame spiral. I can't get out of it. Of course, dealing with every Tuesday with a therapist, it's this last Tuesday was a good meeting. And it's just hard. All this is just the fucking hardest thing I've ever, can't even imagine and fathom of even mentally working on yourself. And people who are younger, man, I wish I could go back in time. But that limiting belief that I carry, that I know it no longer serves me, but buddy, it just keeps slamming against me. And that's shame. That's all this is, it's shame. Just whack you upside the head every once in a while. So thanks for letting me share, guys.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Andrew. This is something that I've been really paying attention to. It's like I can't not pay attention to it in my life right now, is like the shame. And I think, well, both my therapist and my psychiatrist have in different ways helped me to see that there's certain things that have been going on with my mental and emotional well-being, and it all comes back to shame and this deep belief that I'm just not good enough and never will be, you know. And it's not something that I believe in my conscious mind. I don't believe that. I know that we all have worth and value as human beings, regardless of any choices we make or our past. But it is a core part of me, right? It's like this core wound thing that comes up over and over again, and it manifests itself through insecurity, and it manifests itself a lot in my work, because honestly, that's where I interact with people and feel more vulnerable, because I don't have much of a social life. So it's been at times completely debilitating. And I think I've chipped away at it over the years and like gotten to where at least in my brain, I know and understand that I have value. And I know and understand that like this is something that is, you know, related to my childhood. But in the moment when it flares up, it's like a trigger. Like I don't have control over it. And for me, that's been manifesting as what I thought was intrusive thoughts, until I dug a little bit deeper and realized that most of the time when these things happen, and these are intrusive thoughts of self-harm, when they happen, it's immediately following a strong emotion, but it's like so fleeting and quick that I haven't ever really paid attention to it. I just was, it's like just immediately focus on something else. And so my psychiatrist this week actually asked me, what is the function of that? Like when you have that intrusive thought, does the feeling go away? And so I realized that that's like it's a protector, right? It's like trying to help me, distract me from the feeling. So I'm going to work more on that. I'm going to try to do some parts work around that and see just where it's coming from. I know it's from a very small part of me that, you know, like a young part. But it's just kind of mind-blowing that these things can continue. We can carry them with us for years and years and years, and sometimes not even know it.
And so I'm actually really grateful that I'm able to see and recognize. And since that conversation, when feelings of insecurity or not enough come up, now I'm not immediately having the like visceral reaction, like just in the last few days. So it's kind of fascinating. I'm hoping that over time, I'll be able to handle those, that feeling better. And then maybe even it'll go away one day. Like, it just sucks. Like, it'll be like, I'll think about something I said to someone today, yesterday, 10 years ago, and immediately feel this like gut punch. And then what would happen is my brain would switch to a physical, like a felt sense or a visual of like this sort of, I don't want to get graphic, but this sort of like a couple different ways of self-harm that I wouldn't actually act on. So it's really, it's very interesting, and I'm like looking into it. But the important thing is that I still carry that. It's, I wouldn't call it self-hatred. It's just like not believing that I really am good enough ever. And that sucks because I want to believe that, you know, that's all.
I pretty much relate to every single person's limiting belief that's been shared tonight. That I'm unlovable, that I'm a burden, that no one wants to help me with anything and that I can't ask for help, that I'm stupid, that I won't amount to anything. And I know where all of these limiting beliefs come from. They came from the messages that my parents and my family instilled in me from a very, very early age, right through until the time where I said goodbye to my family. So I guess all of these limiting, IFS is starting to click for me. So I'm trying to think about all of these limiting beliefs in that context. And I guess these limiting beliefs are our exiles. And what I've come to realize is that for most of my life, I've thought that my protector parts were my big S self. I thought that my protector parts, which is my should voice, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, get on with it, you know, push through and achieve things. Those are my managers. And my managers are deeply shaming to my exile parts. That's what I'm coming to understand. And so I've been shaming myself, but it's not been myself, big S self, shaming myself. It's been my manager parts. So the job I've got now is to work out what all of my core beliefs are, all of my false narratives, and to open a dialogue with my manager parts, my firefighters and my managers, and just try to get them to be a little bit more compassionate in the way that they speak to my exile parts. Because they speak in the same tone as my family spoke to me as a kid. And I need to change the narrative. I speak to myself in horrible ways. And I really don't deserve to. And I really want to change that. So that's the next step for me in my healing journey, is to change the way that my managers speak to my exiled parts. Because they are good kids. They're good little boys. And they do not deserve that treatment. Time to get rid of this shame. Piece by piece. Thanks very much, everyone.
Let it all go. What you got to do, yeah. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.